Welcome back inside the cave here on 96.5 The Cave and 965thecave.com. It's with a lot of pleasure that we welcome on the show Kay Johnson. Hi, Kay. Good morning, and thanks for being on the show.
Good morning. It's good to be here.
Well, Kay, this morning we're talking about Title IX, and of course, if folks are not familiar with that, of course, the Civil Rights Act of 1964, Title IX came about and passed in 1972, and this is from the Civil Rights Law of the United States of America, and we're talking about that all this week because this is the 50th anniversary. And Kay, I'm just wondering what you were doing in 1972. Are you there?
Unfortunately, I can't hear you right now.
Okay, we're having a little technical issue here. Let me see.
Go ahead, Kay.
All right, now I can hear you.
Okay, we're having a little technical difficulty here. Well, anyway, we're talking about the Civil Rights Act of 1964, and Title IX came about in 1972, and we were wondering, you know, what were you doing in 1972? Yeah.
I don't know if we lost the signal, but...
Yeah, I can hear you, but I can't hear the question in the background.
All right, go ahead. Well, Kay, once again, can you repeat what you were doing in 1972?
Well, I was just graduating Adrian College and looking for a job, and one opened up in Morenci, so I grabbed it and began my career here. I was started out as a phys ed teacher, and with phys ed teacher came GAA, Girls Athletic Association, and that's what the girls had for sports. So it was basically a club. We did play 10 basketball games that year, a couple of volleyball matches, four softball games, but it was all club work. We ended up with the gym when everybody else was done with it. I remember volleyball practice a couple times, 9:30 to 11 at night. That was our availability.
Wow.
So it got started then, and Title IX came along and gave us a big push to move forward with girls' sports.
Well, of course, you've been in this business for over 50 years, so you obviously have seen a lot of changes over the years.
Yeah, when we got started, we had the same uniform for every sport, basketball, volleyball. I was even coaching track at the time. Cheerleading had extra uniforms, but the state put basketball in the fall, I think, to keep us out of the gym in the wintertime and just kind of to push us away. But I had a good administration in Morenci where they supported girls athletics, and it was ahead of the time when I got there. They were actually playing games first. But just to see the growth over probably the first 10 years, it was slow to start with. But then probably 7 or 8 years into Title IX, everything ballooned, and we had full 20-game seasons in basketball. Our softball seasons got up to 25 or 30 games. Volleyball opened up, and from then on, it just kept growing.
You know, Kay, back in 1970, when the talk of Title IX began to surface and build and generate more momentum. Was there excitement not only for you but for other either female athletes or coaches anticipating that there would be girls' sports in high schools and colleges to happen soon?
Oh, definitely. I was one of those that graduated from high school in 68, and we had no sports at all, zero sports. We had our little Girls Athletic Association, I think we played another school once in basketball, but there was nothing out there. So it was exciting. I went to Adrian College, and Adrian College was kind of a step ahead at that time, too, in teacher education. Our physical education program was pretty prominent. So we had teams and traveled through the through the league, but we were pretty successful and had some good leadership. Nancy Walsh still hang around there, and she pushed us to be educators and to be ready for this when it hit.
Well, you know, just on a personal note, I have to thank you, Kay, for all the help that you've been to me when you were athletic director at Morenci, whenever I would come down there normally to do a basketball game, and the help you gave me and making that all happen. So I really appreciated that. We're kind of close to the same era. I graduated in 1969, and I remember that there were no girls' sports at all back in high school, other than they had a synchronized swimming team, but they didn't compete against anybody else.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and, you know, they put on a show for family and friends when their synchronized swimming season was over. But, there weren't any sports for girls, and it was really something that I have to imagine that when that started, the excitement must have really lifted, I would think, the overall morale for school for all the students in the high schools at that time.
Yes, I believe so. We had, great numbers in participation, too. I think I was coaching volleyball, and there were 29 girls playing JV and varsity volleyball. Of course, I was coaching both of them at the same time, but just the excitement for the girls. So all the girls came out because that gave them something to do, and it was their own thing.
Okay, I can remember just a couple of years ago, the NCAA basically was called on the carpet by some media that did some research on the athletic budgets of some of these big-time schools. And we just had a story here today talking about Title IX from Arkansas, where the budgets for the women's softball team and the men's baseball team were just totally out of whack. I think the story said the baseball team, each player racked up about $1,100 as far as what they were given, and the girls' softball team was $500 or $600. So a real disparity, I guess, from the boys' team. And you know, and that was just a few years ago, it seems like. And it seems like Title IX is there, but some of these schools aren't really with the letter of the law.
Right, and sometimes that's difficult. But I think it was 2 years ago the NCAA women's basketball tournament had a great disparity in what their tournament included. I know I remember seeing the one picture of the women's weight room, and there were a few free weights sitting around on the floor, and the men's had just major differences in what their weight facility looked like. I can't remember when we finally got evened up in coaches' pay, when we split down from GAA to individual coaches. And, now if you're the head basketball coach, for men, then you get the same that you do for women. At Morenci, and I would imagine every high school around, or there'd be plenty of lawsuits if it didn't match out that way.
Well, yeah, you kind of hit it on the head there, Kay. A lot of the headlines over the beginning of Title IX and as we've moved forward had to do with dollars and cents. You saw some of the big headlines, maybe even in professional sports like men's and women's tennis, before they finally got equal pay for the big tournaments and those kinds of things. So, I mean, there's it's great that Title IX is still here, because there's probably some more work that needs to be done, and it's in law now, and they've got precedent, and they have an avenue now that they can keep moving forward, right?
Right. And the most recent headline was probably the National Women's Soccer Program that was not getting equal pay from the men's national team, and the women were winning World Cups and winning worldwide recognition, and they were still getting about, I think, 30% of the pay that the men were getting, or somewhere around there. So that just recently, through lawsuits and everything, just matched up probably 2 or 3 weeks ago. So there's still some things that are catching up. It did hurt some of the men's programs when you had to have the same amount of college athletes, and football was taking up 100 scholarships. There weren't any programs in the women's that could take up all those scholarships. So it was kind of, the men had to drop some wrestling programs and just to balance out the opportunities that a college would give, the men had to equal out to what the women were getting.
Well, you know, Title IX is 50 years old this week, and it seems like this is a work in progress. And, Kay, do you see anything on the horizon that there's some inequity versus male versus the female?
You know, I don't know if anything would be inequity, but I know, I mean, high school-wise, they're looking at men's volleyball, and that's starting around, and I think Ohio's going to have a state tournament for high school boys volleyball, and then they have to add another state tournament for women. And I think we've, Runaway County's actually been in the lead on girls wrestling in high school, so that might be the next state tournament for girls if they add one for boys. We ran into the problem, too, with favorable seasons, because we put, boys golf in the fall, which would be favorable, and they moved them to the spring, so tennis could move, and so some seasons are more favorable versus the other ones to do with college, and that was implemented when volleyball decided that they didn't like in the fall. They didn't feel like the Michigan volleyball girls were getting recruited so much when they were playing volleyball in the winter, so then they moved it to the fall. So that was probably 10, 12 years ago, or maybe longer than that, let's say 15, 20, that volleyball got moved, and then that implemented a lot of other changes, golf, tennis, just some outdoor sports, and try to match up who got the good season.
Yeah, that's a very good point. I want to ask you this one question, Kay. Any comments you have about the college transfer portal and name, image, and likeness?
Well, what I've heard about the college transfer portal is it isn't the coach's favorite thing to see. I know I've talked to a couple of college softball coaches, and it's just if somebody doesn't start, or somebody gets mad, or you correct somebody, then all of a sudden they're going to the transfer portal. It's probably good for the players themselves, but just to recruit and plan your recruiting ahead of time, I need a pitcher, and, every 2 years, and, to match them up, and then somebody leaves, and now you're out looking for another pitcher. I think it's confused the whole thing for women, but I guess all along the men have done that, the basketball teams that recruit and get a player in there, a top-notch, a five-star athlete in there, and they play 1 year and then leave. I know some of that's difficult for coaching and recruiting and building a program, too, if they take off right away.
Yeah, that's very tough.
Kay, once again, I want to thank you so much for being on the program here this morning. Congratulations on a wonderful career as both an athlete and a coach. 50-plus years of softball. You just mentioned softball. Great career and a leader for women's athletics here on the high school level here in the state of Michigan. Again, thank you so much for all that you've brought to the sport, and we want to wish you all the very best in the future.
Well, thank you. And we as women are glad to have that opportunity to play all those roles.
All right. Thank you, Kay.
That's Kay Johnson from Morenci. Great career as a softball coach, and we're going to be back with more right after we take this break. You're listening to Inside the Cave on 96.5 The Cave and 965thecave.com.